I am so fortunate to be able to speak to some really, really amazing guests on my podcast series, Love Someone. I like to mix things up and keep them fresh, keep them interesting. And with the cool weather that set in, I'm guessing I'm not alone. We're well into autumn now. Cooler, shorter days are the norm. That summer we thought would never end is becoming a faded memory and something to now look forward to after we get through the winter months that are surely ahead. But first, there is pumpkin carving, apple bobbing, pie making, and feasting, while giving thanks and being grateful for all that we have. One of those things I'm very grateful for is some new music we'll be showcasing and talking about today, and the phenomenal artist that's bringing it our way. Her mellow, melodic voice is instantly recognizable. It's very hard to describe, but you know it when you hear it. We welcome in these dusky songs when our hearts are hurting or hopeful or calling to us to be heard. Her music, her warm and reassuring voice touches our soul and dances with our spirits. And now she's done a thing I don't think any of us would have anticipated. She's released a holiday album. It comes nearly 20 years since her 2002 debut album, Come Away With Me, became a familiar companion to millions of people around the world. Nora Jones, the 9-time Grammy-winning singer and pianist, has made her first ever holiday album with I Dream of Christmas. It's a delightfully cozy collection of timeless seasonal favorites and some brand new originals that are said to explore the complicated emotions of the past year and our hopes that this holiday season will be full of joy and togetherness. Her words. Isn't that sweet? Explore the complicated emotions. Oh boy, haven't they been complicated of this past year, and our hopes that this holiday season will be full of joy and togetherness. We'll welcome our dreamy guest to Love Someone in just a minute. Right now, I need to tell you about the holiday magic that is one of the sponsors of today's podcast. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. That's an African proverb I've always loved. It's something I believe to be true because I've seen the impact that going together brings. And it's one of the reasons I love Mercy Ship so much. They don't go at it alone. They believe in the power of together. Their all-volunteer crew of doctors, nurses, teachers, engineers, and housekeeping staff come together to help transform the lives of suffering people in developing nations. If you've ever wanted to make your mark on the world, this could be the moment you've been waiting for, because Mercy Ships has volunteer opportunities on their ships. We've all said, one day I'll do something to help change the world. Make that one day today and make your mark. Go to mercyships.org to learn more. Hi, Nora Jones. Thank you for joining me on Love Someone. Happy holidays.
Hi, back to you. Thank you for having me.
I don't know when the last time I had you on my show was, but it's been a minute.
It has, yeah.
It's been a minute, and we got a lot to catch up on, especially a lot of great Christmas music. I'm in that vibe. I'm swaying to your tunes because I was listening right before I got to do this podcast. I was listening to the different songs on the album and just kind of closing my eyes, pretending I had rhythm, swaying a little bit. Fun stuff, Nora. You know what? The whole album sort of takes me back. It's got like a retro vibe of when Christmas was a lot less complicated.
I mean, I think Christmas in general, just it's got that nostalgia. That's kind of what I was trying to do, but also do something, you know, a little bit new with it. But yeah, I love simpler times.
It definitely, every song, even the new song, still had that vibe that made me miss like Christmas at home with my folks and my grandparents.
Yeah.
Before, you know, there was all these expectations of the holidays, just back to that sweet, simple time.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody has their own relationship with the holidays. But there's that sense of nostalgia, and there's always like either you had that sweet time or you always wanted it. So there's that feeling that you miss, even if you never had that classic Christmas thing.
So which was it for you growing up? Did you have that sweet time or were you longing for it?
I think a little bit of both. I grew up with a hardworking single mom. So we always went to my aunt or my uncles or my grandma's for Christmas. And so we definitely had that sweet time with her extended family, but it was just us sometimes. We went camping for Christmas and it was actually always fun, but it was never traditional unless we went to their house.
Whoa, back up. You went, your mom took you camping for Christmas. I love that.
Yeah, 1 year. And then 1 year we had, you know, I'm from Texas. I grew up in Texas. So we had like a cactus decorated. I think, you know, she put up a real Christmas tree only one time because we would always go away. So
why go to all the bother of putting one up and then having to tear it down if you weren't even going to be there, right?
Yeah. And I kind of used to be like that because I just didn't grow up with that tradition of putting up a tree. But, you know, as an adult, it's become like I'm the one making us do these traditions because it's sweet. And I don't know. There is something about it because I maybe didn't quite have it in the same way as you see in the movies, but it makes me want it even more.
Well, the songs on your new Christmas album make me feel like the old Christmas movies. In fact, I got to be honest with you, I was prepared to be disappointed with Christmas Time Is Here because that is such a mainstay in my heart with Christmas.
Oh, the Charlie Brown song.
The Charlie Brown song. And Nora, it's so sweet and so good.
Oh, thanks. There's so many great Christmas songs. I mean, it was actually hard to narrow them down, but that one, I wasn't even sure it was going to make the album, but it's just such a great song. The lyrics are so beautiful and so spot on for how everybody feels, you know? So I'm glad it made the album. I'm glad you liked it.
I'm glad it made the album, but I am so glad it didn't disappoint. Because like I said,
glad it didn't suck.
No, it's not even. I mean, there are so many artists that have done it. And, you know, I mean, they've got beautiful voices or whatever. But it's like when something is perfection, you don't want it to be polluted. And your version of Christmas Time Is Here is so spot on and so filled with that Christmas beauty, that hope. I loved it.
Thank you. That was kind of the hard thing about making the album was that I wanted it to be beautiful and inspired, you know, and so many of these songs we know, we all grew up with these amazing versions of them. So it is kind of hard to redo some of them, but you know, when you go in the studio and you just kind of try some stuff, it either sticks or it doesn't. You can either make it your own or you can't. You're either feeling it deep in your heart or you're not. So we only went with those classics.
So of the 13 songs on the album, how many of them are ones that are brand new for the world to hear?
I think six. Yeah. And they really informed the rest of the songs, the cover choices as well, because I've never been inspired to make a Christmas album. It's certainly come up before, but it's just never been what I was inspired to do. But this time I really was from this whole last year. We listened to Christmas music on Sundays during the beginning of the pandemic just to sort of cheer ourselves up. And so I was excited to think about maybe doing it. And then I didn't really know my way in because there's many ways in, but I just started writing and these original songs kind of informed it. And I like the way they all mix together.
So you said that, and I had read this, that during the shutdown when we were all locked up, that you and your family would have a Christmas on Sunday and listen to Christmas music and make pancakes. Were your kids young? Like, I don't even know what age range they are, but
yeah.
Did that become something where now that maybe you're not doing it every Sunday, they're whining?
No, because they didn't really get that into it. Because after the first Sunday, they thought it was cute. The second Sunday, they were like, okay, so what presents are we getting? And we were like, no. This is not that kind of a Christmas. So it was almost more for the adults. It was that feeling for the adults. The kids kind of like, you know, they kind of were whatever.
See, with my kids, I can do something once, but once I do it twice, especially with my son, Zach, who has left this world and changed his address to heaven. But once I did something twice, it was a tradition and it had to be repeated. Like, I like to make pancakes like in shapes for my kids. Like I make the letter their name starts with, or like butterflies or whatever. I put it in a ketchup bottle and draw pictures with pancakes. Once I did that two times when my son Zach had sleepovers, it was tradition. I had to do it every time he had somebody sleep over, you know? And I'm like, no. It's not a pancake Sunday tradition. Oh, yes, it is, Mom.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm so sorry about your son. I know what you mean, though. Yeah, they get really intent on keeping things the same and doing things over and over. But that one, it was really more comforting for the adults.
I could listen to Christmas music every weekend. I could listen to Christmas music all year. I love Christmas music.
I mean, I love it. I actually love it. I mean, you know, and I have like a pretty great playlist going of a lot of stuff that, you know, a lot of people know, and then stuff that they don't know. There's so much out there and there's so many roads to take for making a Christmas album. So I'm glad it worked out.
So I know this is a weird question, but is there like a favorite? You release Christmas Calling first. Was that your favorite? Like, how did that come to be?
Well, that is definitely my favorite of the originals. I really, you know, every song has its own sort of flavor, but that's my favorite of the originals. And I love it. I love the way it came out. I love the sentiment of the lyrics, friends who feel like family. That's kind of what I was missing during the whole last year. You know, I was stuck with my family, but I missed all my friends. But of the classics, I really love the version of the Chipmunk song, Christmas Don't Be Late, that we did. It really
Christmas
one of my favorites.
So don't be late. I was expecting to hear that when I played it, and I was pleasantly surprised to not hear the Chipmunks.
Yeah, we didn't want to go too chipmunk on it. It has a good vibe, I think. I really love the way it came out. So those are the first two songs in the sequence.
It has such a great vibe, and your voice is indescribable. It's like, it's kind of nostalgic. It brings back, it evokes all those wonderful old classic kind of jazzy Christmas songs, but it's breathy and edgy and rich and full all at the same time.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So beautiful.
You know, for me, doing all these classic Christmas songs, it made a lot of sense because I come from this deep jazz tradition. I mean, that's what I learned. That's the music I was sort of steeped in. You know, I used to listen to Billie Holiday and try to just play all those old songs. And that really relates to a lot of these classic Christmas songs. But I'm also from Texas and I love Hank Williams and Willie Nelson. And there's that whole country Christmas thing too. I mean, it was a really nice way for me to sort of mix up a lot of my traditional influences.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What does optimism look like? I'm on a quest to find the people who inspire us to dream more and do more. I'm Simon Sinek, and I host a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. I talk to all sorts of people, from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to a hairdresser on Instagram who gives out free haircuts to the homeless, from the CEOs of the world's largest companies to the comedy writer who visited the wreckage of the Titanic. I love talking to leaders, artists, authors, and eccentrics about life, leadership, purpose, mental fitness, human skills, high performance, and other curious things. It leaves me feeling wiser, more inspired, and, well, more optimistic. Because after all, this is a bit of optimism. The world is full of magic and wonder, if you know where to look for it. Listen to A Bit of Optimism on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So you said that your mom was a single mom raising you in a little different way, a Christmas cactus as opposed to a Christmas tree. Is there a Thanksgiving recipe or a Thanksgiving tradition or a holiday tradition that mom passed on that just means the holidays to you?
Well, she always made this thing that her mom used to make. And so I let her make it usually, because when I make it, I mess it up. But it's just a cranberry jello salad. It's kind of old timey, but it is kind of good. And it reminds me of my grandma and growing up.
Does she put oranges in it?
No, but she puts celery in it, which is kind of weird. But and also nuts. And there's been many Thanksgiving where it, you know, you take it out of the fridge and the jello hasn't set and it has, you know, the whole thing tumbled on to somebody, whoever's taking it out of the fridge. So that's happened like at least four times in my lifetime.
So in my family, I always do candied yams like my grandma used to, and I put marshmallows on top of them. And 100% of the time, without fail, I forget that I put them in the oven to broil and to brown the marshmallows, you know, to make them puffy, and I burn the damn marshmallows. 100% of the time. It's like,
well, but they're good like that.
I assign people. I'm like, okay, your job is to do this. Put the candied yams in with the marshmallows and take them out before they burn, because I can't be trusted with that assignment anymore. And they still burn them.
Yeah. But that's part of holiday tradition, is all those things that don't go exactly as they're supposed to, you know.
Remember the Norman Rockwell painting of Holiday with everybody sitting at the beautiful table and the perfectly carved turkey?
Yeah, I've never had that. Have you?
Oh, hell no. No, no, no.
No way.
No, we use paper plates because there's, you know, except with COVID last year, there's just way too many people. No way I'm doing that many dishes.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, four tables set up because we got kids and we got grandkids and we got friends and we got cousins. And the marshmallows are burnt, and I do like a jello thing, not your grandma's, but I do that. And just like with you, half the time it doesn't set up. I don't know why. It's like, why jello? Are you doing this to me?
Yeah. It's like the chemistry just isn't perfect or something.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like, if it's raining outside that doesn't, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's very weird.
So there's another song I want to talk about on the album, You're Not Alone.
Oh, yeah.
If I could give a gift to anybody who is hurting for any reason, I would give them the gift of cut number 8, You're Not Alone.
Yeah, that one was special. It kind of came, we started playing it in the studio. I just started playing it, but I didn't have any lyrics. So we just kind of recorded it, and then I sort of fiddled around with the lyrics after and figured it out.
So the music came to you before the lyrics?
Yeah.
When you write, do the lyrics normally come first? Does the song come first and then the lyrics come? Like, how does that work for you usually?
Usually there's something that comes with the music, like a melody and maybe like a piece of a lyric. And then you can usually piece it together after that. But it's nice when lightning sort of strikes at once for the, you know, main part. But that one was just the piano part. It was sort of based on some old Willie Nelson guitar riff. And then I had Brian Blade on drums and Tony Shaw on bass, and we were just playing through it like we were in church, you know? And it was really hypnotic and kind of circular type of chord structure, and I loved it. And then a few days later, we decided to record it, and I had a little bit of a melody and a few lyrics, but the You're Not Alone part was the main thing.
like I said, if I could, I would wrap that song up in a beautiful package and send it to everybody, not just my people, not just the people I know that are hurting, but everybody who is grieving, hurting, lonely, despondent, depressed, angry. There's so much anger in the world
so
right
much.
Now.
Yeah.
And when I listen to that song, it just like deep breath. Okay. We're not alone. It's why we celebrate Christmas.
It's just that little reach out, you know, it's that, you know, little reminder.
Our podcast sponsor today is Annie's Kit Clubs. While the leaves fall outside, the kids will be busy crafting inside, making beautiful keepsake decorations for the holidays. Annie's has introduced new autumn and Christmas themed kits that are fun for all. We love them because they're perfect for family time and hands-on creativity, and they make it so easy. Sendings, supplies, and instructions in exciting, colorful packages to your mailbox every month. Get crafting and creating beautiful memories with your family. Visit annieskitclubs.com/radio now for 75% off your first kit. That's annieskitclubs.com/radio. So now that things are, I don't want to say calming down because they're not, but
yeah, who knows?
Who knows? Are you touring again? Are people able to go see you?
A lot of people are, but I am not yet. But I probably will be next summer, I'm hoping. Yeah. That's my dream.
The dream is to be able to get in front of people by next summer.
Yeah, that would be my dream.
My dream is to be able to get into my jeans by next summer.
Yeah, well, that's also my dream. At least if I have a show booked, I'll have something to work for.
Yeah, I have to have a purpose. You know, you have to tell me I'm going to be on screen or something. Otherwise, the sourdough is winning this war.
Oh, me too. I love to eat. It's too fun. But that's kind of why I made a Christmas album, because I was just looking for a little bit of joy. And, you know, last spring I was trying to, you know, think of what I was doing with my life without touring. And my last album that came out during 2020, I really loved it. It was a little dark. So I thought, oh, let's try a Christmas album. But of course, you know, it's a melancholy Christmas album in the end, but that's okay.
It's melancholy, but it's hopeful and it's got a lot of joy and it's got a lot of memories. So I think whatever space you're in, whatever you're going through, when you put it on, if you're lucky and can go someplace quiet without 1,000 kids pulling at you and just listen to it. Oh my gosh. I think it touches every emotional nerve in my heart.
Well, I'm so glad you got to hear it. You know, it's so nice to hear that. That's how I felt about it. And I felt that it was really special and it was coming from a very genuine place. So I'm glad you felt it.
And one more thing we need to talk about. The movie Elf.
Oh, it's the best movie on the planet ever made. It's my favorite movie. Forget about Christmas movies. It's just my favorite movie.
Favorite movie of all time.
It is. I mean, it's definitely my most watched movie of all time.
Mine is Princess Bride.
I love that. That's like number two.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons my husband and I got together, when we both discovered that we had both separately before we ever knew each other, watched Princess Bride like 5,000 times. It was like destiny. But Elf is right up there in our family. They want the costumes. They want the tights. They want the whole shebang.
The cool thing about that movie is it's great for the kids and they love it. But there's all these nostalgic references in it that go deep for us. You know what I mean? So, you know, goes back to our childhood, all the claymation bits and the Christmas Story kid is in it. You know, he's one of the elves. So it's so cool. It's just a great movie. I cry every time. I seriously cry. I'm so weird, but I don't really cry a lot. But every single year when we finally start watching Elf, because we watch it many times over the holidays, I do cry usually at this one part every time, whenever the New York one, you know, lady is not believing it. And then it all is believable all of a sudden. And the thing flies over her head, the the sleigh, that I always cry at that, which is so weird to me that I cry. That's when I cry once a year.
See, for me, it's when they're having tea at the end.
I've already busted the waterworks out at that point. So I'm usually still crying at that point, but you know, the real waterfall is right before it.
My five-year-old discovered Elf last year. And you know, when kids find a movie they love, they want to watch it over and over and over.
Yeah.
Morning, noon, and night. He had to watch it to the point where he had every line in the movie. Not just the lines memorized, but he would hop up out of the seat while we're watching it and start acting it out in front of the screen. And I wish I had videotaped it, but, you know, sometimes I don't want to spoil a moment by trying to capture the moment.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, you can't. But that's the best. And it's a very quotable movie. And also the soundtrack is great. It's one of my favorite Christmas albums to put on is the soundtrack, because there's a lot of classics on there and some good new stuff.
I have a new favorite Christmas album to put on with great soundtracks now, thanks to you.
No, that's great.
So many. And Blue Christmas.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite covers on the album.
It is beautiful. Beautiful.
That's
beautiful.
One of my favorite Christmas songs just from childhood. My aunt, who passed away when I was 17, she loved Elvis. So we always listened to that.
My mama loved Elvis. She was from Arkansas. And I think anybody who was from anywhere remotely close to where Elvis grew up kind of felt a possession or an ownership.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I was a kid on the air at the radio station when Elvis died.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
But all of his Christmas songs are wonderful, but Blue Christmas, definitely in a top 10 position.
Yeah, I love how all the gospel Christmas. There's also a great Staples Singers Christmas album that's pretty incredible. We just discovered so much great Christmas music diving in for this. I'm going to put a bunch of playlists together.
What's the plan this year? Will you be home with family? Will you be at somebody else's home? Or do you know where you're going to be come Christmas morning? And who bakes the cookies that you leave out for?
Not me. I'm horrible. My husband's the baker, but I'll probably just be home. And my mom lives near me now, which is nice. And the kids are little, so it's fun still. I mean, I think my son is still excited for Santa. He's 7, so we'll see. Hopefully.
Nora, thank you for spending this time with me. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And
thank you, too. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Especially thank you for You're Not Alone. That really blessed my heart.
I appreciate that.
All right. God
bless.
Have
a great one.
You too.
You too.
I cannot tell you the number of times I've played a Nora Jones song on my radio program. They are perfect for any number of dedications, and listening to her is like wrapping your heart in a warm blanket and letting the stress in your life ebb away. I don't think we'd ever be so lucky as to get a Christmas album from Nora, and I'm so thankful that we have. Nora has been super busy since the pandemic put the kibosh on her touring plans. She's not only released this holiday album, but she and fellow Puss in Boots bandmates released Sister last year, and Nora dropped a full solo album, Pick Me Up Off the Floor, in the summer of 2020. Check out her social pages for all the fun details on those. Since we flipped the switch to all Christmas music earlier than many on the Delilah Radio Show, this new music coming from such a beloved and celebrated performer is very welcome indeed. I Dream of Christmas is just as dreamy as it sounds, and it's available for purchase and download right now. Add it to your playlist and tell me which is your favorite. You already know which is mine. You heard me saying, You're Not Alone. Who? I can listen to that 20 times, and it's so inspiring. We've got a lot more great music coming your way on the Delilah Radio Show and here on Love Someone. I hope it's helping to get you into the holiday spirit of love and hope and joy to the world. I will talk to you soon. Until then, take some time out of your busy holiday schedule to slow down and love someone.
The world is full of magic and wonder, if you know where to look. And I'm obsessed with looking for it. I'm Simon Sinek, and I host a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. Each week, I have a short conversation with someone who inspires me or teaches me something about life, leadership, and other curious things. I hope you'll join me on the journey. Listen to A Bit of Optimism on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.